doesn't seem like it was a long time ago, but in reality, I guess could say it was. It's kind of been 18 years since I retired. And one thing that I always, of my military career, that I hated more than anything else was being forced to work out. You know, I longed for the easier days when once a year they would make us run a mile and a half and time us. Then all that changed. They seemed all of a sudden to be concerned about firefighters' physical health, so they said you have to work out an hour every day, lifting weights and riding a stupid bicycle that sat in one spot, no change of scenery. I'd much rather worked out the eyelids, but that didn't work. But there was a benefit to those things. It allowed us to be able to do our job more efficiently. It kept us from being injured more often than we were. But there's a great deal of difference between worldly strength and spiritual strength. If you look back at Samson, he had the strength of his body. Solomon had the strength of mind. And Christ had a strength of the soul. When we look at the differences between the two, we must necessarily, as Christians, take our spiritual strength and give it due diligence, not only in our prayers, but also in our application. Spiritual strength is something that we need to cultivate in order for it to grow. We need to have the spiritual strength in order to be able to do God's will and the work that is laid out for us in Scripture. As the song we sang, John 9 and verse 4, says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. I think we all know and understand the difficulties it is in this life to overcome the temptations we face. But Jesus Himself said in Revelation 3 and verse 5 that he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name, the book of life, but I will confess him before my Father and before his angels. And I sat and I watched part of a football game today, and I fell asleep during that game, and odd enough, when I woke up, the same game was still on. But it was overtime when I saw the bottom of the score thing, so I could understand that. But there's not a single football team out there, it doesn't matter whether it's the Pee Wees or it is the professional football, that goes out with one game plan. They do not run the same plays over and over again. It would be too easy to be able to subvert those plans. The same holds truth with the options that we need in order to face temptations. These options, while they are rooted in Bible and Scripture, keeps us from being tossed to and fro. We need to stand up for the principles Christ had left for us to follow. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4 and verses 14 and 15 that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Also carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Our spiritual strengths, as they continue to grow, the more we know, the older that we become. Those spiritual strengths will allow us to be blessed. Philippians 4 and verse 4, a very familiar verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. But we can also read in the Beatitudes the blessings that we and receive from our spiritual strength. How do we manifest that spiritual strength? We know we need it for the work. First of all, we need to prove all things. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, he reminds us to prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. And we can manifest spiritual strengths in faithful attendance. We can read in Acts 2 and verse 42 where the apostles and the disciples, they gathered together. But they continued steadfastly in the doctrine that they were taught. The fellowship, the breaking of bread, prayers. Can't express enough how important it is to be together at every opportunity that we have. How will we ever know when someone is hurting if we don't know them? This is where, my friends, that we gather together to get our strength renewed for the coming week. Most of us sitting here right now know exactly what our week is going to bring us. Whether we know what we're going to face when we go to work in the morning or go to school in the morning. And for those things, we need to have a strength behind us that allows us to endure those things. When we gather together in the midweek, it is the opportunity that we can get to get boosted just enough to get us over the hump, to get us in back in the right frame of mind to finish out our week. In Titus 3 and verse 1, Paul said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now, you might ask, well, what does that have to do with my attendance? What does it have to do with us being here the middle of the week? Most every congregation that I've ever attended has a midweek study. And that didn't just pull out of the air. The men of the congregations had deemed it necessary that it was important that we gather together. Not only to give us some time to study, but the time of fellowship and being with one another. But this time that we have together gives us the opportunity to get some meat out of Scripture. Now, I know that we could probably say, well, you know, the weak are here too. And yes, they are. But we cannot gather strength if we are not doers of the word. If we only hear, we are deceiving ourselves. You know, for a long time, we had a treadmill sitting in our living room. I joked about it as being a coat rack. It was nice and convenient. It had handles that you could move back and forth. And it held my coat perfectly. It was up off the ground and just above the dogs to where they couldn't rub up against it. And I did use it occasionally. But it did me absolutely no good sitting there as a coat rack. I gained no benefit from it. The same holds true with the Word. If we just look at the Word, if we just read the Word and do nothing with the Word, we gather no strength from it. You know, it was always kind of a badge and honor when I first got into the fire department. We had some antique equipment. We had coats that were pretty much made of rubber. They called that stuff Hypalon, and they thought it was really good stuff, but it melted. Not a very good thing in the fire department. We had air tanks that weighed 40 pounds, just the cylinder, not with the rest of the stuff. We had aluminum helmets that, well, you know what aluminum does in heat. It's why they had ear flaps, so when it melted down, it wouldn't burn your ears. Times changed. And by the time I had finished out that career, you could barely tell when you were in the heat. We had so much protection. Sometimes we even found ourselves in more dangerous situations than we should be in. I would always leave some skin exposed. It was my thermometer. It told me when to run. The Bible also gives us our protective clothing. The main key is found in Ephesians 6, in verses 11 through 13, where Paul writes, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." But he goes down a little bit further in verse 18, telling us that praying always with the prayer of supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. Yes, wearing our protective clothing will provide us with the protection that we need. But we must pray, my friends. We must be diligent in our studies. Yesterday, you know, it's amazing how you can go to the grocery store and have food on the table within an hour. I find that truly amazing. The longest part is actually cooking the meat. But within inside of 15 minutes, the vegetables are cooked and sitting on the table. You can cook them in a bag now. You don't have to open it up and dump it in a pot. You peel off the plastic and you serve the potatoes. Truly time saving. But where do we save time with our spirituality? There is no time saving measures when it comes to being with God. We need to have time to study. We can't take the shortcuts. Sure, it would be nice as if we could sit there and run a CD or whatever and our radio's driving to work, but how can we focus on what that is saying when we're trying to stay alive on the roads here? In the 119th Psalm in verse 11, the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." There was a reason for this. We must be faithful in being here. We must be faithful in our study. We must be faithful in our present, in our prayer life. But we must also consider seriously about the associations that we have outside the body of Christ. For these things have a direct effect on our relationship with God. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." How many of us dread trying to find a place to worship when we travel? Because we never know what we're going to get into when we walk through the doors of another church. Yes, the book that we have can be a good indicator, the manual or the directory of the churches of Christ. But a lot of things can happen inside of a year or 2 years when those books are published. When we visit a place and we see something not quite right, what do we do? Do we even know it's right or not? I'm confident that many here would understand and know the minute they saw something out of kilter that it wasn't right. But oftentimes what happens is we don't want to create a disturbance. And we will compromise our principles and stick it out. But if our strength is obtained through exercise, we will have the strength to be able to overcome and to do those things that are right. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 5 and verses 11 and through 14, he says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for a time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Exercise, my friends. Exercise. Put this in other words, it's remember what you have learned and put it into practice. It's hard to forget how to do something when we practice it on a daily basis. I'm sure I could get on a bicycle today and ride it up the street, but I probably couldn't do it the way I could when I was a teenager riding it every day. I definitely wouldn't jump the creek or a ditch. It could get pretty ugly. But when we remember the things and we practice the things, we have the confidence then to be able to teach others. And that gives us also the ability to be able to move on to deeper things. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2 about when he had the spiritual strength, using that spiritual strength when he has gained that to teach others. He says, and the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. That means he had to teach them. And the reason being, Paul finished out that so that the others will be able to teach others. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. So that we can continue the Lord's church into the next generation, in the next generation. You know, next in about 2 weeks, we have a planning session, and I can probably name the men that'll be there. But what happens when those men are gone? Who picks up the baton and runs? If we're not teaching, when we go back to pass the baton, there's nobody there to hand it to. We all need strength to be able to carry out our daily lives. By maintaining that strength, it makes our job here on earth easier. But more important is building and maintaining that spiritual strength. The young Christian that has the zeal to be able to do the work, we need to continue to have them work out to get stronger, more knowledgeable, and not discouraged. To let them know also that there will be times when the things that we try fail, but never to give up. We obtain our strength by wearing the whole armor of God. And through the earnest and fervent prayer, and through diligent study, through our associations with other people, by exercising our abilities to teach others. What is your spiritual strength like today? This is something that every single Christian needs to think about. And I'm sure that every single Christian probably say it's something that can be improved upon. If you are not a child of God, you are lacking a spiritual strength. But even as doctors will tell you in starting a physical fitness program, that they always start one out small. You're not a child of God. We want to give you an opportunity to begin your conditioning program so that you may enjoy the benefits of eternal life. Maybe you are a child of God and maybe you haven't been exercising the way you should. We want to give you that time also to make some changes in your life. If anyone has a need this evening, we want to give you an opportunity to respond to the invitation as together we stand and we sing.